Welcome to the big show.
He could go all the way
to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon.
When you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Is there a heaven?
Oh, yeah. It's the place dreams come true.
On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
Good day, everybody. Gidi Hansen is the marriage and family therapist registered intern at The Growing Place. She helps couples in their relationships and helps other people with other issues in their lives. It doesn't just necessarily have to be marital relationships. It could be relationships, even relationships with yourself. If you're addicted to narcotics, if you're addicted to sex, if you're addicted to smoking, whatever kind of addictions you may have, or if you're having issues with your children you want to deal with and get some counseling, usually from a Christian perspective at The Growing Place, but it does not have to be. And Gidi Hansen, her phone number is 588-0448. We have come to learn in the last two sessions talking about forgiveness that the forgiveness is really paramount in a successful relationship. In fact, I would venture to say, love, you know, it's like there are three things, and you know that I've always heard that you need to have in a relationship: forgiveness, acceptance, and love. Those are all the three. Those are the three biggies, and that makes for a successful relationship. But to me, without forgiveness, I'm not sure you can have the acceptance, and without forgiveness, you can't have the love. I think forgiveness is the centerpiece of it in some ways, and in an odd way. Although love is important, you could love somebody and not forgive them, but I don't think you could forgive somebody. Really, I mean, you not love them. You need to have forgiveness.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. You know, love and forgiveness are like two sides of the same coin.
Uh-huh.
Because we're all imperfect. We all injure ourselves. We injure each other. We do it intentionally. We do it unintentionally. And to think that we live in a world where we can love somebody and not need to forgive them from time to time is very unrealistic.
Now, when you have... we have a lot we want to talk about, but I want to really emphasize the importance of the issue. When you have couples that come in, would you say I'm going to guess 100% of the time forgiveness is involved and an inability to forgive is involved in the relationship?
Oh, I would say so.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because people are holding on to hurts.
Uh-huh.
And people are wanting to assign blame and let themselves off the hook and hook the other person.
Okay. Now, we want to talk today about going to the next step. It's not just about forgiveness, but it's about reconciliation, and the two are different.
Yeah, the two are different. Forgiveness is something that happens between the individual and God. It's you saying to the Lord, I release this person to you. You deal with this person as you see best. I hold nothing against them. And I also pray, fill my heart with your love for this person. Make this forgiveness very, very deep and sure and lasting in me.
Well, doesn't that forgiveness have to be sent also to the person as well?
Well, this is where we come to reconciliation.
Okay.
Reconciliation is forgiveness plus restored relationship.
Uh-huh.
And in some cases, it is unwise to seek restored relationship because the other person is not a safe person.
I see.
So in some cases of domestic violence, where there's been a rape committed, a sexual assault, or where somebody is just so toxic that you can't be around them, it's just impossible, then reconciliation is not a good idea. And this is based on the gospel account how Jesus chose his friends. He chose the apostles. Of the apostles, he chose three. God gives us the right to choose who we want to be close to.
Mm-hmm.
And he gives us the right to choose who we don't want to be close to. In all cases, we need to love them. In all cases, we need to forgive them. But we can choose who we bring in close, and we can choose who we create a boundary line with and keep them more distant.
I see.
So reconciliation means not only do I forgive you, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to let you inside my inner sphere, and I'm going to continue to have relationship with you.
But Gidi, I can hear people saying right now, well, that's not real forgiveness. If you had somebody and somebody does you a wrong in a marriage and cheats on you, for example, And that person, and the person did it for no good reason. This person in the blame scale gets 99% of it.
We're not talking about that.
Okay, or whatever it is. Are you really forgiving that person if you can't say, I want to restore the relationship to where it once was?
Great question. I'm glad you're asking this because I'm sure the listeners are having similar questions.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around this one.
It depends on what you have invested in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
A marital relationship is a lot of investment, including mm-hmm. vows for many of us,
mm-hmm.
for better or for worse, and richer and poorer, in sickness and in health.
Mm-hmm.
A friendship outside of the family is a whole other thing.
Okay.
And when there is continual violation of boundaries, gossiping, rumoring, spreading lies, you look at how much do I have invested in this relationship? Can I really continue to have a relationship with somebody who is so two-faced and venomous?
Mm-hmm.
In that case, you may choose no. I will not. In a marital situation, in a parental child situation, in a brother and sister, mm-hmm. there's a lot more invested. So you need to really investigate. But even in some of those, you know, some of my clients just grew up with very abusive parents.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not safe for them to continue to have relationship with them.
Okay.
Or maybe they need to just take a time out for a season and heal up before they go back into that relationship, because there's always re-injury and re-injury. So that's what I'm talking about.
And every situation is unique in itself. It's not a one-size-fits-all. And that's where counseling really comes in, isn't it?
Exactly. Exactly. Very well put.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. So... And forgiveness is not insurance against future pain.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us have this superstition.
Yeah, okay.
Well, God, we make deals. Okay, God, I'm going to forgive him this time, but then you make sure that it'll never happen again. You know, or I'll forgive so-and-so over here. Now you take care of that business over there. And we start making deals with God. And it doesn't work that way. Forgiveness is not insurance against future pain. It releases us from past pain.
Talking about forgiveness and the importance of it in relationships of all kinds, particularly family relationships. And Gidi Hansen is with The Growing Place. And if you want some advice, some counseling sessions yourself for your relationships, you should give her a call, 588-0448. We'll continue discussing about forgiveness and the importance of it in our relationships with our loved ones when we come back.
This is Live Local Talk.
All right, welcome back to the show. We're talking about forgiveness and reconciliation, and it's a hard thing for us to wrap our heads around because I've been wronged in my life, but I've done more wrongs in my life toward people than I probably had wrong done to me, and so much of it is acknowledging that. And I think when you acknowledge that, you know what, boy, I really screwed up pretty big this life, and I really messed up this person's life a little bit, it's really important to acknowledge that somebody maybe messed up your life, but you have to remember the lives you messed up. And at least I do. So sometimes I look at it, and I know we're not supposed to think this, but sometimes I look at it like, it's the karma thing. You know, some of us look at it and say, okay, and I look at it that way, and I go, okay, bad things are happening to me. And I'll go, I deserve it. I deserve this because of all of the bad things I did to other people. So I have it coming to me when I was in my 20s, when I was in my 30s, I was doing things I'm ashamed of. Okay, guess what? Now it's my time to suffer.
Well, you know, you're calling that karma, but it's actually very scriptural.
It is.
It's very scriptural. Jesus said the way you measure it out to others, it'll be measured back to you.
Uh-huh.
And there's also, I can't remember where it is, there's an Old Testament scripture that talks about no matter what you're suffering, you're not, and there's a New Testament too, I think it's in Peter's epistles,
mm-hmm.
no matter what you're suffering, you're not getting what you really deserve.
Mm-hmm. So in other words, you deserve much worse than you're
much
getting.
Much worse than you're getting, and that's true in my life. I have been given a lot of mercy from God, and that's a motivator for me to be merciful.
I think you're right. That's a great point.
Yeah.
So sometimes when we talk about, and I'm probably jumping to another subject, but I'm going to do it real quickly because I don't want to lose track of what we wanted to go over. But when we think about, well, you know, I'm forgiven, therefore my future is all secure. Maybe it's not the case. Maybe does God go up there and say, you know what? People don't like to think about this with God. People like to think about the lovely, lovely, cuddly Jesus that was in a baby, you know, but there's a justice aspect of it that sometimes maybe he's up there saying, yeah, I forgive you, but and you're going to be in my arms in heaven when your time comes. You will be with me. But you know what? What you did to that person was so bad, you're going to have to do some suffering here for a while.
Yeah, that's so scriptural. Look at King David.
Uh-huh.
He finally repented because of his sin with Bathsheba.
Uh-huh.
But their baby died. And then the Lord said to him, you know, what you did with Bathsheba, you did in secret. But someone else is going to sleep in you, with your wives publicly and openly for everybody to see.
Uh-huh.
And so God does measure out retribution. That's his job. It's not my job.
Actually, I think Paul McCartney said that at the end of Abbey Road. The love you make is equal to the love you take is equal to the love you make. But I guess it was Jesus that actually said that.
Yeah.
And it was Paul McCartney said it too.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's
a
true.
It's a biblical, you know, principle.
Uh-huh.
So we've got to understand, we want to hold the other person accountable, but at the same time, God is holding us accountable.
Okay. I don't want you to deviate too far from what we wanted
That's
to go
fine.
To.
Speaking of the future, we talked about, you know, forgiveness is not an insurance against future pain. On the other hand, forgiveness is not permission for future wrongdoing.
Okay, explain. Give me a real-life example.
Sometimes people withhold forgiveness. Let's say a husband and wife situation.
Uh-huh.
Let's say the husband has a pornography problem.
Uh-huh.
And the wife keeps forgiving and forgiving and forgiving. And then finally, you know, she just feels, I can't forgive you anymore because you're just using this as enabling. You're just using this to go ahead and pursue your bad habit,
mm-hmm.
and bring all these strange women into our marriage and, you know, do things with your own body. And now you keep expecting me to forgive you. And mm-hmm. I've reached the limit on that. So when we forgive, we're not saying to the person, I'm going to lie down like the carpet. You can walk all over me. You mm-hmm. can do whatever you want. I had someone say to me one time, you're a Christian, you have to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
And then went ahead and sinned against me,
mm-hmm.
like flaunting it,
uh-huh.
you know, challenging me. And I just, you know, at first I became very upset. And then I thought, oh man, this person is heading into trouble.
Mm-hmm.
God's going to get a hold of this person.
Because I'm not sure God forgives us that way. If we say, well, you're God, you have to forgive me, so I'm going to do this anyway. I think God might, I don't speak for him, but he might withhold forgiveness for something like
well, the
that.
The thing is, forgiveness is conditional upon repentance.
Uh-huh.
It's not just what I say. You know, I go out and I get drunk every Saturday night and I show up for church Sunday morning and I say, Father, forgive me. Mm-hmm. And then knowing that I'm going to do it again, that's not repentance.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, forgiveness is not bestowed upon me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same in relationships. So sometimes people withhold forgiveness because they go, man, you're just going to take this as enabling.
Well, you see, God knows what's in our hearts. So he's able to judge how sincere we are. If we commit the sin after sin after sin, people could be truly sorry, but then God will say, he knows whether or not we're serious or not. The thing is with human beings, the person commit the same sin over and over and over again, but that person doesn't have God's omnipotence, is not able to say, is this person really sincere? Whereas, in that sense, we're at a huge disadvantage than God is, because God knows what we're thinking, what we're feeling, so he's able to make a judgment on whether or not he's going to give forgiveness or not, because he knows the sincerity of it. We as human beings don't know that, the
no,
sincerity.
No, we don't, but we know enough. We know enough, and we have the Holy Spirit
uh-huh.
to do our part. We're not in charge of the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not in charge of the offender's, you know, destiny or relationship with God or sincerity. That's not my job. I'm in charge of my responses and my sincerity and my relationship with God.
Okay, we have one more segment today with Gidi Hansen. We'll probably talk one more week at least on the issue of forgiveness. It is the centerpiece of a healthy relationship. And if you need some advice on your family, any family counseling, 588-0448, The Growing Place. Gidi Hansen. We'll be right back after this.
Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon.
Ask yourself, what kind of example are you setting for others?
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
talking about forgiveness, the value of it, with Gidi Hansen from The Growing Place. Somebody has a question and wants to know, how can you forgive somebody without enabling that person? Gidi?
That's such a great question, and we kind of got into it just before the break. Sometimes people get in codependent relationships, like we talked about domestic violence a few weeks ago, where, let's say, the husband beats the wife, you know, he's in the anger part of his cycle, and then he comes to his remorse, and then he's asking for forgiveness, he's all lovey-dovey, and the wife has been through that enough times to know that that forgiveness that is expected of her at that moment is just part of the cycle, until his anger builds again and again and again, until he has the outburst, and then it comes the abuse, and then comes the asking for forgiveness. So there comes a point where we still need to forgive, but we need to set a firm boundary line.
Because the forgiveness, it gets into a cycle.
It gets into a cycle.
So the husband, let's assume it's the husband, says, okay, I did this wrong. I come back, she forgives me. I do this wrong, she comes back, she forgives me. So what the hell? I'll just do this wrong and I'll be forgiven again.
Exactly. And that's enabling behavior. That's codependent behavior on the part of the wife.
And how do you break free from that?
Okay. By creating a firm boundary. This is a boundary issue. So with boundaries, we don't reach across our boundaries into someone else's life and try to manipulate them and try to make choices for them or try to control them, because that's all codependent behavior. What we say is, I will forgive you by God's grace. If you do this again, then I will have to move out because this place is not safe for me.
But then you have to be ready to move out.
You have to be ready.
But it doesn't have to. It could be on a much lesser scale. You use the example of pornography.
Okay.
Now that is a bad thing to do. But what limits? You know, there have to be other certain limits that have to be done to say
this issue
has to stop.
You say to the husband, okay, honey, we have tried to solve this issue on our own, and we haven't been able to. If you do this again, we're going to counseling, and I'm not going to take no for an answer.
Right.
Otherwise, I'm just going to have to move out, or there's some consequence that is workable.
Right.
So, you know, in that case, the consequence is something that's going to help heal the relationship.
Right.
And the guy may say, well, I'm really ashamed and I don't want to bring in some other person. And the wife would say, honey, they deal with it all the time.
Yeah, it's probably much more common than people realize.
And, you know, pornography is only a symptom of what's really wrong in the relationship anyway.
Uh-huh.
It's not the cause of what's wrong. It's a symptom of what's wrong.
And this would be very difficult for, and I'm not sure I even agree with this, but there would be some who might say, maybe there's an issue in between the two of them. And this is probably a whole nother subject. In which maybe there needs to be working with their intimacy between themselves, which might be leading this.
Yeah, it's a complicated issue.
It's much more complicated.
But that's an example of boundary making.
Right.
Where the person says, I'm going to impose this consequence. You're still free to do whatever you want. You do what you want, but I'm not going to enable your behavior anymore. It's going to have a consequence in our relationship.
And I think sometimes we think about the consequence. Somebody says, well, I'm going to move out. I've heard of these situations. I have friends who've gone through it and says, well, I've had to move out because this happened and this happened. And strangely enough, there's a bond between those two people that lasts, my guess sometimes is a lifetime. And it's possible for the reconciliation to come years later. It doesn't always have to be, because when there
That's
is true
point.
Change in some point, I've seen it happen. And I remember somebody came up to me and says, we broke up a year and a half ago. I said, well, any chance of reconciling? He says, no, but we haven't talked in a long time. Maybe. And you think, talk about the bond that develops in a relationship by which that even though hurts happen, they can still be reconciled.
Yes.
Even after lengthy times.
And we believe that marriage is a sacrament ordained by God and that it existed before the fall and it will exist forever in eternity between the church, the bride, and Jesus Christ. So the sacrament of marriage itself helps keep people together and helps them to reconcile. Now, because of that intimacy, the pain is much deeper. And is going to need more grace to forgive, but there's also a lot more invested there.
And I think it's, even if somebody, I like hearing stories when somebody actually breaks up and have a divorce And then they somehow get back together again because they find out, wow, there is a bond much deeper than I ever realized. And I didn't realize until I was away for a year that that bond is still there. And I could forgive that person because I still love that person.
Yeah. The problem with divorce, besides, you know, the scriptural problems, is that I am 50% of the problem.
Uh-huh.
And I can get rid of the other person, but I'm going to take all my same issues into the next relationship.
Exactly.
And I can resolve it here with somebody that I know and love, and at least we've gotten to know what each other's issues are.
Uh-huh.
Or I can start all over again with someone else, but I'm still going to have to face these things in myself.
Uh-huh. Wait, but you know, my philosophies on life, and maybe I shouldn't admit this, comes to so much from watching certain movies. There's a Woody Allen movie called Husbands and Wives, and I'd recommend it to you, Gidi.
Okay.
Because it's about real relationships. It's one of Woody Allen's best movies. And you talk about how and the couple has difficult a time, but ultimately there's a happy ending in a strange way. They come back together again because the man says, I didn't realize, even though I had gone out with other women and she went out with other men, but there was a bond between us that
yes.
brought us back together again. And I like to hear that because that talks about reconciliation could happen, but it doesn't have to. You can have forgiveness and non-reconciliation. And then reconciliation again years later. It could
That's
happen.
That's right. Just think of our relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiveness is offered to us all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But reconciliation is not a given until we enter into relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Paul said, while you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. The forgiveness was issued. But the reconciliation doesn't happen until I repent mm-hmm. and turn my heart towards God.
I think what I learned about from talking to you, I was speaking with Gidi Hansen at The Growing Place. She's a family and marriage registered intern, working to become a fully licensed.
Yes, yes. I'm almost done with my hours, but I have to wait until March of 2015 before I can test.
And her number is 588-0448 if you have any questions in your relationships. But I think what I found out, Gidi, and we'll continue our discussion on forgiveness, is that every situation is unique and different.
Yes.
And I think you probably find that out every day when you go to work.
Definitely.
All right, we'll continue forgiveness next week. But what do you want to touch on next week?
Well, next week I want to touch upon the victim and the victor mentality and also how it affects our relationship with God.
Thank you, Gideon. Thank you for joining us, everybody. Have a good day. So long.
Thank you.